Yo, what's going on, guys? It's your boy Chef Plum. Thanks for joining us live here tonight on Plum Love Foods Live, a special Tuesday night edition. Should be a lot of fun talking all about PR and marketing comparisons. We've got Linda Cavanaugh coming in from MaxX PR, a good friend of ours, been on the show before, and of course, we had to have a pinch hitter, Kibby's coming in to join us here because our good friend Serena had a bit of an issue. She had to run her dog to the vet for an emergency, so she's not going to be on the show tonight. But we have a great guest in place of her, so it should be a lot of fun. Thank you guys for all the downloads. Please rate, review, and subscribe to get this program for free on your mobile device or wherever you listen. Shortly after it's done on iTunes, iHeartRadio, you know where to get the stuff at. That's what we do. I'm just talking, just running my mouth. Why don't we get this show on the road and, you know, play a little dramatic music? Stay right there, guys. Here comes Plum Love Foods Live.
To pay, time for you to get down on your knees.
I
pray.
Came to
you say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch your future.
I came to pay
to get my dues paid. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be saved.
Yeah, it's Monday. No, it's not. It's Tuesday. What's going on, you guys? Happy Tuesday to you. Hope your week is off to a good start. We're doing a Tuesday edition because I was working yesterday, because you know how we do. Not like everybody else in the world. Some of us in this industry don't get to have holidays off, and that is exactly what happened to me, but it's fine because I'm off tomorrow, which is even better, which means I can drink tonight. Well, I don't know if I can actually say beyond a shadow of a doubt the fact that I'd have to work the next day actually would hinder me from my drinking the night before. I'm sure some of you can vouch for me there and know that I'm not kidding, because that's okay with me. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy Chef Plum hanging out with you on a Tuesday. Should be a great show tonight, man. We are joined by Linda Cavanaugh from MaxX PR and our good friend Kibby. She is a musician manager and tour manager and social media manager. Original plan was to have my friend Serena on. It'd be a great opportunity for her, but she to come and talk about, grab to for us to hear from her to talk about social media and what the new types of branding and things like that could be for bands, and compare that to what we have now and if it's the same. But poor Serena, her dog had to be taken to the vet, and she is just now on the way home, so she's not going to be able to join us on the show tonight. We're going to get her on very, very soon to talk about stuff. We have a great pinch hitter coming in, though. Kibby is amazing. She's great. Should be a lot of fun, because here's the point of this program, guys. I wanted to end season five with a roundtable, but not just a chef roundtable. We focus this entire season of this program on social media and marketing and PR for chefs, for restaurants, hospitality individuals. I thought a great way to wrap it up would be to kind of do a roundtable with that, comparing the types of PR, the types of marketing that are done in the music world compared to what they're done in the hospitality world. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't think it's that different. I don't. I think it's all kind of one and the same. So I thought it would be a great opportunity to have two different points of view, listen to these guys talk about this stuff. I'll present a few questions. We'll hear from them. I'll give my two cents, the occasional dick joke. That's the problem. I got to be careful because I'm talking to two women tonight. And, you know, well, actually, both these women wouldn't care what I said. They're fine. We all know that Linda's the best, and she takes jokes and she makes them on her own. And, of course, I mean, she's former chef, like she works in the business. And then, of course, Kibby is, well, she's just the best, too. She's used to it working in I think that the only other people in the world that have mouths like we do as chefs, as culinarians, might be people in the entertainment industry. Whether you've done television or radio or I guess even working with musicians, dude, they all have mouths like sailors. And I'm right there with them, so it works out well. Anyway, you guys, I'm looking forward to having that show tonight. But I want to talk a little bit about Memorial Day first, because, you know, right with the music. enough. It's a great holiday. You know, it gives that first long weekend. To me, it kind of kicks off the summertime. I spent my weekend working out in Montauk, which was amazing. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting here right now and drinking a beautiful crowler of one of my favorite beers on the planet, Montauk Brewing Company. I'm going to have them on the show the next time around, this season six. We're going to have them on. Yes, I'm doing season six of the show because I love it. So we're going to keep going. Usually I try to do 32 episodes per season, and I just feel like it took forever to get 32 here in this one. But we're there right now. But Montauk Brewing Company, some of you who live in the New York area, I highly recommend you check them out. They are an amazing, amazing beer. They are made with local ingredients, and it's all recycled aluminum. And the beer is a little expensive, but God, is it worth it. I'm driving their watermelon session ale right now, poured directly from the taps at the brewery, because they make these crowlers, which is just amazing and delicious and fun. So I got that here with me on tap tonight. But I want to talk a little bit about Memorial Day, because it tends to be a barbecue holiday, and I was looking up different menus and things like that, and it hit me, like, I find all kinds of stuff. I find the menus from Kraft. I found a menu from SheKnows.com, and, like, these are all great. I'm sure they're fine, but, you know, for the most part, we're chefs here. We don't need a menu. We don't need somebody telling us what to make. We can make a menu. So I thought it'd be fun to get a good buddy and friend of the show here, because we have a good event coming up together to talk about what's happening up in Boston. My good buddy, the one, the only, Chef Nick Calais is on the program right now. Chef, good evening, brother. How are you?
Hey, pal. How are you?
I'm all right, man. Sitting here doing a show on a Tuesday, because you know how it goes. Yesterday was a holiday, but I had to work. So we're doing a Tuesday night show.
Yeah, no feeling. No feeling.
You know, man, I wanted to ask you, first of all, we got Rooftop Chefs coming up, man. When's that kicking off?
Yeah, Rooftop Chef, super excited about it. June 12th, me and what's the guy with the purple hair? You. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait.
Dude, I'm so excited. I'm so honored that you even asked me to be a part of it. I look forward to it. I mean, anytime you and I hang out, it's a great time, whether it's cooking food and judging children or going to a vampire bar or a gay bar in New Orleans. Either way, we always have a great time.
How'd I know that was going to come up?
Of course it's going to come up. What are you talking about? Well, the fun part is, too, we're going to do, on the 12th, we're going to do a special edition of this program, a two-hour Chef-tacular with you and me and some other chefs on the rooftop kicking it in Boston after the event. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. We're looking forward to it. You know, all for a good cause, to share our strength to end children's hunger.
Man, I love that. That's going to be awesome. And 100 people, right, coming up. People can buy tickets to this event, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Eventbrite, Rooftop Chefs. You can buy tickets for that event and future more. And the cool thing is, I was hanging out with my buddy Pedro Martinez yesterday.
Oh, excuse me. Hang on. Wait, you dropped something. You dropped something. Let me pick that up.
Well, he pitched in the alumni game at Fenway, and he actually brought me the shirt that he wore for the game and the first ball he pitched. And he signed both of them to raffle off for the Chef Series.
Hey, how about that? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so the ball will give away that night with you. And the shirt, the jersey that he wore, will give away at the end of the season. We'll sell raffle tickets each week until the end of the season for that one.
Wow, what a great event, man. I can't wait for that. I'm looking forward to it, man. It should be a lot of fun. You know, it's one of those things that we talked about on the show the past couple of weeks about as chefs. It's just having the opportunity to be able to give back the way that we can that other people can't is such an important thing. I think it's part of actually being a chef is being able to participate in events like that and help out and give back and also teaching. I think these things kind of go hand in hand.
Absolutely, 100%. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have so much fun.
Dude, I'm looking forward to it. And we'll be sober the whole time, too, which is great.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, so Memorial Day was yesterday, man. You know, and like I said, I was looking up a bunch of menus just to see what kind of things are kind of mainstream wise. I found some stuff from Kraft. I found some stuff from a website called She Knows. But honestly, I mean, we're chefs, man. We don't need somebody making a menu for us. What was on the Memorial Day menu there in your household or around at work for you? What'd you guys do?
So Memorial Day, you know, it's always fun. We had some friends up and, you know, take out the smoker. Got the Traeger rolling. We did some applewood smoked ribs. We did some grilled lobster, some mussels with some lobster broth. We made some roast corn on the grill and some smoked chicken. And did some whitefish en papillette on the smoker. I think I cooked a little too much.
Ooh. Sorry, you got a little French there,
huh?
There's
only six of us.
It's still fun, though, man. I love it. What did we do for Memorial Day for me? I made a big brunch, and then I did some scallops, and I did a beautiful – I was in Montauk, so I had the most amazing seafood just right there if I wanted it. And so I did a beautiful scallop dish with a chorizo and red onion jam on top of them, and I served it with sweet potatoes, which was kind of an interesting twist.
Yeah, that actually sounds really good, a little spicy, a little sweet, and the sweetness of the scallop. I actually did sweet potato myself, too, on the little smoker. See, we're thinking alike now.
There you go. See, that's a good mind, too. A little smoked sweet potato, huh? That's what's up.
Yeah, I did a little applewood smoke right with the Traeger grill put on the top rack as the ribs and the chicken were on the bottom racks.
Man, so listen, so is it as chefs, because we do things like that, is it as chefs that we kind of stay away from doing traditional burgers and dogs, or is it just more fun to do smoked sweet potatoes and ribs? What do you think?
I'm thinking as chefs, people come to your house and they get burgers and dogs and they'll be like, really? I could have stayed home and done this.
Dude, look, the first motherfucker that comes to my house and complains about me giving them food, they're leaving. Hey, but listen, a good burger is good, though, man. Listen, you can get a great burger and it's still delicious. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
No, a good burger done well, done right, is an awesome thing. I agree. But there's an expectation when you come to a chef's house. You know, you come to a house party, you come to a little barbecue, and I don't know, maybe it's a chef thing. We just got to show off a lot, too. You know, and you know, like, hey, this is what I can do in 20 minutes. And, you know.
Look what I can do in 20 minutes.
It's a food of love, man. We cook from the heart. When we cook from the heart, everything just comes out, man. When we cook at home, we cook for friends, we cook for family. It's all about cooking from the heart.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, man. I think I definitely would agree with that. It's one of those things, I think, that, you know, the more you do, the more you start to love it, the more you get into it. But here's the issue I have. As chefs, if I came over to your house, you'd have made me a damn burger. It would have been those ribs and that shit. You're like, oh, here's a burger. There's some Budweiser in the refrigerator.
Well, as chefs, when we cook for each other, we like, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I cook with my buddies, my chef buddies, we cook simple. We cook, you know, for simplicity and just to, you know, hang out, chat, have something quick to eat and talk. Unless we're cooking a dinner together, but if I'm just cooking for you, it's going to be a great dinner for you. But it's more about, you know, hanging out. All our friends come to my house. It's like, hey, what's chef making today?
Right. Well, dude, I've had your food, and it's awesome, and I can't urge people enough to go check it out if you haven't done so yet. And we'll do some more promotion for this event, too, as it gets a little bit closer. But Rooftop Chefs, June 12th. It's going to be a lot of fun. The first one kicking it off, and some guy with purple hair is going to be the first chef there cooking with Chef Nick. It's going to be great in downtown Boston. I'm looking forward to it, brother.
Hey, I'm looking forward to having you on the rooftop, my friend.
I don't know if that's bad or not. Like, your accent, I'm afraid you're going to hold me upside down by my ankles or something and threaten my life. I don't know.
You may end up in the pool.
Yeah. All right, bro. Listen, I'll talk to you on down the road. Hey, when I come for dinner, I'm expecting some of those smoked sweet potatoes, all right?
Sounds like a plan, my friend. I'll see you soon. Be well.
All right. Thanks, brother. There he goes. That's Chef Nick right there from Boston. One of the good ones, man. Definitely one of the good ones in the world, man. I love Chef. He's great, great guy. His story is awesome. The guy, all he does is win awards and run the city of Boston, it seems like. Hotel Colonnade, you can't miss it. Rooftop Chefs, it's a great big event happening. We're looking forward to hanging out with Chef in a few weeks. Like I said, we're going to do the two-hour Chef-tacular. It's going to happen on the rooftop of the Hotel Colonnade. Chef Nick, Chef Dave, myself. A couple other people, he's got some surprises lined up for us, so it should be fun. And knowing him, Pedro Martinez will probably show up and be a part of it because they're buddies. You heard him drop that name there. Jeez, that's more name dropping than I do, that guy, huh? it's kind of out of control. No, he's fine, man. It was a lot of fun, dude. So check it out. I think what we're going to do is we are going to play a song. Get my ducks in a row and make sure our guests can hear everybody on the phone and come right back and talk a little PR. I think it'll be a lot of fun. A little PR has never hurt anybody, right? You can learn something from that. Maybe you could all like take notes because there will be a test afterwards. I'm planning on making a test afterwards, so hopefully you'll be ready. You guys are checking out Plumlove Foods Live. It's your boy, Chef Plum. Do me a favor, please rate, review, and subscribe on those iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. You know all the places you get it from. Stay right there. We'll be right back with Linda and Kibby. Be right back, guys.
And he's a real screwball, if you ask me. Look at the way he's always sending warnings to the newspapers before he blows another batch of pedestrians to Hades.
Yeah, and have you noticed? He always ends his notes by saying,
"The scent of danger takes me to the edge of panic. Now I'm caught in the plot that was thought up. Satanic like mayo, deo, daylight comes and I want to get home before I'm burnt by the sun." Bells chime at the 12th sign of the seventh scourge.
And the first is a sleeper steeped in the force of the dark side of strife. Behold a pale horse.
And the source be above the law like Seagal.
The thought of his stare raised my hand like Vidal.
Now he stalks where I walk, setting soldiers at the border. I'd hope to catch Guevara acting out of order.
Just meet a fool like Ozzy meets a man.
And the fact is I was kidnapped, thrown in the back of the unmarked van. Destination unknown, in league with the Intrigala Oliver Stone. Was thought in Revolution 33 and a third was all I heard.
In the jurisdiction, mark the prediction, cause the truth's stranger than fiction. From the get-go, the Watcher said so. Beware Sergeant Stiletto.
Now the population faces incarceration while select serpents reach certain circles of illumination.
Looking over my shoulder, I'm seeing shadows on the walls. I'm turning pallid at the thought of the gallows. Seven gables zoom before me, can't neglect the connection. Seven on the sides of the cross on the pendulum stiletto. The name of the nemesis, Guevara.
I'm trapped in the labyrinth.
Assassins be passing me and I amongst their midst. Before my name is known, I slip into the mist. I exist, the specialist who persists to vent the secret entrance I decipher. The hieroglyphs, ta-da! The creaking floor reveals the door, voila! And I emerge into the crypt.
In the jurisdiction, mark the prediction, cause I'm too stranger than fiction. From the get-go, the Watcher said so. Beware, Sergeant Stiletto.
Well, I just did a whole entire read and didn't have the mic on, so that's professional, right? Make sure I can cut that part. Hey, cut that part out of the podcast version. Sorry, guys. Hey, check it out. Looking for a brand new knife, Ergo Chef knives. Make sure you check them out at ergochef.com. These knives, I've been using them all weekend long. They slice, dice, chop, cut. I even cut down straight through pieces of rebar with my knife. I was hacking away at it the entire time. I cut through it and then still cut through a tomato slice like an infomercial. It was amazing. That's not all entirely true, but they do stay super sharp. Make sure you check them out, ergochefknives.com. Tell them Chef Plum sent you and grab yourself a great discount by using promo code PLUM15 off at ergochefknives.com. Yeah, that was a mess. I know. I didn't have the mic on. This is what happens. I turn the mics on and off. I fuck myself up. That's what happens. So I apologize for that, you guys. There was not an issue. It was me. There was what they call an ID10T error, which if you spell it out, spells idiot. And that's me. Anyway, you guys, check it out. A lot of fun today, man. Looking forward to having the conversation here on the season 5 finale, talking all about PR and marketing. We basically have spent most of the season of this program here talking all about that and how we can promote ourselves, promote our businesses, promote our restaurants. And it kind of all goes back to social media, doing local television, things like that. But I thought it'd be fun tonight to have two different points of view at this roundtable. My friend Kibby is going to be on the show, and Kibby's amazing. She's super cool. She's worked with all kinds of bands. She's been touring with people all across the country. So having that musician kind of perspective. And of course, our good friend Linda from MaxX PR, one of the powerhouses in the Northeast when it comes to hospitality PR, is going to join us right now too. So it should be a lot of fun. Let's see if Linda's here. And I mean, hopefully she won't get mad. I called her a powerhouse. Is that bad? Linda, was that a bad thing to say or no?
No, I love it. You're so good for my ego. Thank you.
That's what I want. Let me see if I can get Kibby here. Let's see. And Kibby, hope I didn't build you up too much. Was that too much to say, Kib? Are we good?
Oh, no, that was great. You actually could have done more.
Oh, awesome. Well, Kibby, please meet my good friend. This is my good friend Linda Kavanaugh from MaxX PR. And Lynn, this is my good friend Kibby. So hopefully we have a great conversation tonight. It's weird to meet on the phone like this, but that's the best way to do it.
No, I'm excited. This is great.
Yeah, same. I'm really excited for this.
Well, so it's interesting because we spent a lot of time on this program here lately talking a lot about marketing and a lot about PR and pushing yourself as a brand or pushing your restaurant as a brand. And I kind of think it all goes hand in hand. So I kind of want to start with both of you. And Kibby, I'm going to start with you, and then Lynn, I'm going to give you a chance to jump in here too. What do you, if you had to pick one thing in 2018, Kibby, that is the most important thing when it comes to promoting yourself, promoting your brand, promoting whether it's a musician, an artist, a chef, what do you think that is? What is the most important thing you would tell them?
Well, I mean, really, like, putting yourself out, like, as your most authentic self, but doing it with as much polish as you possibly can, because there's so much going on that if you're not really taking the extra moment to, like, really convey your point of view, it just comes off as you just, like, updating the thing to update the thing to be in somebody's feed, and they're not going to care.
Polished, huh? Talk about polished for a second. What do you mean when you say polished?
I mean, really taking a second, like, for chefs, for example, like, if you're trying to show off, like, a really, like, superb plating technique that you did today, like, make sure the image is centered. Maybe play around with, like, portrait mode or something like that, and really just, like, give it an extra second, or, you know, like, maybe it needs to be a video instead and, like, have it rotating or something. But, like, instead of just being like, ah, here's the thing, come in, do the work, blah, 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 like, you really have to, like, take an extra second and think about how you can improve upon what you're already doing.
That's probably pretty good advice right there, I think. Take that extra second to make sure that picture looks good. Lynn, same question for you. 2018, what do you think is one of the most important things we can do from a marketing and PR standpoint for our brand, whether it's a chef, an artist, musician, whatever it is? What do you think it's like if you could give somebody like one thing you would say, hey, make sure you do this?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm going to actually piggyback on what Kibby said. I'm just going to have a different slant on it, but I think we're saying the same thing. So the airwaves are getting crowded, okay? So airwaves, I mean every form of media, social media, it's crowded out there. And so nowadays, you have to be impactful. You have to be fearless and impactful. There's so much repetition. Everybody's sounding the same, looking the same, posting the same. It's just, I mean, you know, Plum, you and I talked about it when we last spoke. It's there's so much repetition. It's people are starting to grow immune to what's being put out there. And so, right. you know, I'm always trying to get, you know, my team that whatever they write or whatever they take a photo of or whatever they post or whatever the chefs are doing or the menus or the event, that there's an impact. You can't play it safe anymore. You know, there's too much talent out there. And again, the airwaves are crowded.
Yeah, that's probably pretty good advice right there. I think that my next picture I take is, or plating video, I think taking what you guys both said, I'm actually going to do it wearing my Speedo. That's going to be the plan. Speedo and plating, that's going to be how we're going to make that plate pop, I think. That's the plan. Maybe not.
That's when the publicist has to do damage control. That's not good.
Well, I mean, it depends. Is it gold lame? What are we talking about for the Speedo?
don't encourage him, Kimmy. Don't encourage him.
That's all I do, unfortunately.
Well, so listen, so how about this one then? So in talking about that and how saturated the market can be with stuff, I mean, Kibby, is social media really the only thing that matters? Is that really all that people pay attention to anymore?
I mean, so especially from like a musician standpoint, it's basically, the market has gotten really interesting where, because everyone is expected to be on social media, everyone expects to have the same level of access to you as they do their stupid friend from down the street or, you know, like in Colorado or whatever. So they want to see you being just as witty as their friend, and they want to see you taking interesting photos and updating to Instagram and all of that. We're in like this economy of attention where like you have to be fighting all the time for it.
Right.
And if you're not on social media shoving it in front of people's faces that like, you know, you had a new single drop this week, I can't tell you how many times when I was working with this semi-independent artist, Kishibashi, we would be promoting his tour. We did all the sponsored posts. We did all the things. You know, we posted multiple times a day, made sure they were geo-targeted, whatever, whatever. And he would play, for example, Savannah, Georgia. And the following day, he would tweet about the rest of his tour dates. And someone would be like, when are you going to play Savannah? Because, like, they weren't paying attention. Yeah. They weren't there in that one moment kind of thing. Like, you just have to be so present and so, like, face forward all the time.
Right. It's just, like, nonstop saying almost virtually the same thing over and over again, I guess, from that perspective, but maybe just in a different way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So people know. Well, Lynn, what do you think? Is social media, is that really all that matters? Because it certainly seems like that's the world we live in now. We all have these, you know, 5-inch screens in our pocket, and my God, I can't even remember when the last time I turned my television on.
Right. I think, I don't think that that's all that matters. I mean, you know me, I'm a believer still in all forms of PR and marketing. I still believe that every, you know, every machine is utilized. You know, people do listen to radio. People do watch their local TV. I think when everything's working in tandem is when, again, I go back to that word impact. I think if, as long as things are working in tandem, I think that works. And to what Kibby said, you know, the difference between, you know, consistency and repetition, you know, there is a difference. So repetition can be negative because, you know, again, the same thing over and over, but consistency is just constantly giving them something new, something exciting, you know, different information. So there's a big difference with repetition and consistency. And again, all mediums, for at least in the hospitality industry, should be used. I think, you know, a lot of the times when you're talking about a particular product or service or a restaurant or an act or whatever the case may be, you know, you might have a target market. Hospitality, not so much. Hospitality has probably one of the most broad markets. And so, which is a good thing, you know, which means that we do want to go after, you know, everybody in every age group. And so by nature, we have to go after every form of exposure. So it could be TV, radio, you know, digital, social media, it's all of it. But we also change how we're doing the social media. Like we also went from still photos to videos, you know, so you're just constantly going to have to, you have no choice. You're going to have to evolve with whatever medium you're working with.
You know, I think you were reading my mind there, because that's where I was going to go with it, actually. Just depending on who your market is and the people you're talking to, like, you know, for instance, Kibbe may be dealing with a musician who, you know, younger demographic, that sort of thing, that maybe those people aren't watching television and stuff. So maybe it makes more sense to focus that on something else as opposed to going for the traditional traditional media.
But from a
hospitality standpoint, you know, it's kind of it's a much broader group of people you're trying to talk to. That's interesting. I never thought about it like that. That's pretty, it's a pretty astute point you just made, Lynn. How about that?
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's almost as astute a point. Yeah, I mean, it's almost up there with me doing the speedo thing. Sorry, almost.
No, we're still on the speedo. I think sometimes people too, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kibbe, in the music world, I think sometimes too we spend too much time and effort trying to so tightly target a market instead of letting it also happen organically. You know, sometimes, you know, right? I think that can happen in almost any form of PR that we're always trying to hone in on it instead of letting it, you know, take on a life of its own and learning from it.
For sure. And especially too, now that most of what we're doing is like digital, or at least has like so much analytics backed into the end of it, that like you do a thing, you see if like the audience you were targeting to like matches up to who's actually showing up, and you know, adjust things accordingly. And I mean, like you were saying, you know, the different channels and stuff that you use, like obviously if we're working with like a band who's doing like a 18 to 24 demo, we're going to be working college radio and not necessarily like the, you know, the bigger like mainstream radio stations and stuff right off the bat, because you're working them into the audience that's already like showing up for them. So,
well, let me ask you guys this. I wonder how it works.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, just really quick, it's interesting because, you know, I look at some of the restaurants that I know that you've worked with, Lynn, and I know that, you know, these guys have been around, they've been around for a while. So you're established restaurants. So I wonder if it kind of goes in the same, you know, Kibbe, I know you've done some work with like Violent Femmes and stuff like that, bands who are established, who have been around, you know, they've done things. They've kind of, you know, they've done all the big stuff already. But like on the same accord of doing a restaurant that's kind of been around for a long time, does the PR, does the marketing form kind of change for that if it has an already established audience, I guess is my question, Kibbe, like when it comes to like a musician?
Well, I mean, when I was working on Violent Femmes projects and stuff, like their new album that they put out 2 years ago now got a decent amount of praise, but wasn't, you know, the same as like the stuff that they're really well known for. So they decided that since they were a legacy act, that they wanted to return to like all these like smaller radio stations that like consistently always play them and like supported them really early on in their career. And they did in studio sessions there, and then released a live album of a bunch of their biggest hits. So they knew their hits already. They already knew that people were there, but because of, you know, like the new packaging and whatever, like they were able to like combine the nostalgia angle for like the older demo, but still like loop in, you know, the younger folks that like maybe have only sang Violet Femme songs at karaoke, and they're like, oh, I can get this, like there's a way
that's
to repackage
because you think
this
about
good thing you're already doing, like
that's interesting, because it's if you have a good established fan base, you know. And by the way, just so everyone knows, I don't ever want to be called a legacy act. Just FYI, I don't ever want that to be in my name anywhere. I feel old enough as it is. That's not going to help. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't think it's a good thing. Oh, Lynn, same kind of question, but when it comes to a restaurant, like, you, excuse me, I know some of them that you've worked with have been very established. Is the PR plan different for them?
Well, you know, like with music, you know, what's old is new again. And I think
that's my legacy act
for us.
Acting up. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
Are we good?
We're good. I'm alive. I'm good. I'm still here. I'm still legacy acting. Don't worry. I'm around.
Your legacy age. but definitely what's old is new again. And so for when we come in with an existing restaurant or, you know, or sometimes we come in fresh with a restaurant that's, you know, been here for more than 20 years, you know, and we have to come in and refresh the brand and reintroduce. There are times when the restaurant, you know, is changing or, you know, or evolving. And then there's times when they're flat at out not. They are doing right. what they've always been doing. And I'm fine with that. I am fine with that because we see a lot of food trends that are coming back. You know, we were talking about it last time with, you know, like classic French is now like very in and the young kids are digging their yeah. classic French dishes. You know, the young kids are, I mean, we're eating red meat again. Yay. You know, so the old fashioned steakhouse is back and we see more steakhouses popping up or people having a steakhouse-esque style to the menu. Oh gosh, I couldn't be happier. So we're going back to this more classic way and we're going back to old school ethnic food. And, you know, so it's a great opportunity PR and marketing wise to do a reintroduction, do a refresh. And sometimes, you know, these guys will have the upper hand as opposed to the new trendy restaurants that just keep opening literally on top of one another. And the consumer kind of gets tired of that too. You know, so I think when all the new restaurants are opening and there's all that fanfare, but then you have an oldie but a goodie making like, you know, a resurgence, we have great success with that because the customer wants that. The customer misses it. The customer longs for it. Customer forgot about it, you know, and instead they're on yeah. like overload with restaurant after restaurant opening and silly shit after silly dish being put in front of them. You know, they're tired of it. It gets, you know, it's overwhelming where they're like, give me a great steak, give me great service, give me a classic dish. You know, they want that. They crave it. And we've been enjoying that. Actually, that's been going on now. We've been seeing trending for the last 4 or 5 years or so. So PR marketing, that's, awesome. That's a blast to work with. Yeah, that's a blast.
That's awesome. Remember a few years ago when everybody had burrata on their menu and it was like, January, and like burrata and vine ripened tomatoes. I'm like, go fuck yourself. You don't have vine ripened tomatoes in January. You're an asshole.
You know, what for me?
And now everybody has street tacos now, and it pisses me off. Stop it.
Right. For me, it was pork belly. If I don't see another pork belly dish for the rest of my career, I'm good. I'm really good.
Can I raise my hand and say guilty? Guilty.
Pork belly.
You guys who kind of work in this field and kind of help direct the way the world goes with your power, whether it's with bands or musicians or actors or restaurants or chefs, I'd like to make a request. Can we please do away with the term alt milk? I was in the Hamptons this weekend. If I heard one more motherfucker say oat milk, I was going to stab a bitch. Oats don't have milk. Yes, and they wanted lattes with oat milk, and all I wanted to do was take my shoe off and beat somebody in their kneecap with it. It was everybody just... Timmy, you live in Brooklyn. Like, honestly, is this a thing that we're going to have to deal with for a long time?
I mean, they're like, my local coffee shop has, like, 6 different milks, and they'll be like, we don't have oat milk today, and just like, I didn't even know that existed, like, I thought I was being really progressive with almond milk, and then like, oh no, now we have coconut, and now we have, like, no, slow down.
My wife ordered a oat milk latte, and I smacked it out of her hand when they gave it to her. I said, you will never drink that and be married to me.
No, you didn't. You wouldn't waste money. Shut up.
And as I'm leaving, the latte, the little heart of the latte they made in the phone was just dripping on the floor. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm out. I'll take my coffee small cup.
You're not supposed to drink milk from anything that doesn't have a nipple.
That's true. I agree with that. And
think about it.
Thank you. Almonds don't have nipples either, Kibby. Just point that out there. Hey. It's funny though, just from a terrible PR standpoint. Let me tell you guys both this to get it's an interesting feedback from both you guys, and this is what's called a segue from a professional host here. The coffee shop that I'm talking about, is in Montauk, and it's a very, very high-end coffee shop. I'm not going to say their names. It's shitty to do because their coffee is pretty good. But so during the weekends, they have a barista who will make you all your espresso drinks you want. But Monday through Thursday, which, P.S., they weren't even open for last season. They were only open for Friday through Sunday. But now they're going to be open Monday through Thursday. But get this. They don't make espresso drinks. All they'll make is drip coffee. Kibby, is this the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your life?
That place should close down immediately.
But people still spend money. It's unbelievable.
That's something, man. That's something. Wait, can you get like cold brew? Because that's all that I care about in this life.
I think they may have cold brew. I think that may be a thing. But honestly, like, I just couldn't get over it. And Lynn, as a PR, like hospitality PR person, would you just say this is the worst idea they could have ever had?
You know, I always marvel when people can make those extreme kind of choices but I'm always curious to see what happens with it. I don't know. I mean, I can have my personal opinion on it, but I wonder how that's going to play out for
when you
for
get
the
there,
season,
you wait in line,
right?
Imagine this. You get there, you wait in line because there's a line every night. You go there, you get there, you wait in line. It's a very trendy place, and it's got, you know, it's another word for rock, and it likes the color blue. That's the name of the place. I just gave it away.
Mm-hmm.
Bluestone Coffee. Anyway, you wait in line, and you only get there to find out they're not making espresso. I just don't get it. Like,
is it not a sign on the door?
No.
Yeah, at least before they get there.
Oh, wow.
No, and they look at you like you're stupid, and you can't pay cash there either. You can't pay cash. You can only pay with, like, Apple Pay or whatever. It's crazy talk. But from that same perspective, thinking about something like that, Kibby, if you work with a musician who maybe – have you ever worked with a musician who's, like, you know, been pretty popular in the past and is trying to do new music now, or has maybe worked with a new band, but all they want to do is not play their old music? Is there anybody that you work with like that, and how do you handle that? When all people want to do is hear the hits, you know, play the hits and shut up, you know?
I'm trying to think of anybody that I've worked with personally. I've actually had the opposite where we were trying to get an artist to promote his new record and he just kept playing the songs he knew that everybody already liked already because he was like anxious about playing the new stuff. And I was like, my guy, this is kind of the point. Like, you gotta tell them which ones are the ones you're proud of off the new record. We gotta do this. So.
I love that you called him my guy. I love that.
Yeah, I turn into like an old Brooklyn grandfather every now and then.
Well, when it comes to hospitality places and restaurants, I mean, do you ever find, Lynn, that people don't, you know, people don't want to change their menu. They want to stay with what they know, or maybe they want to change it too much and not put things that, if you ran a menu mix, did really well for them. Or they're just afraid to, or they want to change it too much. You ever see that?
Yeah, you know, the whole thing with the menus, so whether you're, you know, a seasonal, you know, type of restaurant and your menu's changing every week, or I have people that, you know, menu has never changed, will never change. They have no desire to make a change. They are the ones, you know, doing tomatoes in January. They are the reason for it is I find when it comes down to the customers, I find that restaurateurs tend to literally, I'm going to say this, be afraid of their consumer. They're afraid to tick anybody off in any way or disappoint anybody in any way. So you have a lot of the old timers that say our menu is our menu because that's what our customers want. And, you know, they really never even gave themselves the opportunity to switch it up because they were just afraid that they would turn off a customer. But then you have the other guys that are forever changing their menu. And there are some consumers who then feel like that they can't rely on their favorite dish to always be there. You know, so unfortunately, in this case, you know, it's really one of those things where the restaurateur just has to decide, you know, what type of restaurant he wants to be, and that may not be appealing to every type of consumer, and so be it. You know, and it's a hard thing for a restaurateur to hear that not every person is your ideal customer. You know, they hate hearing that, especially coming out of their publicist when their publicist says, oh, it's okay, then that's just not your ideal consumer. It's a tough thing to swallow, but you have to be true to yourself. You know, if Pepe's will never add a new topping to their pizza, and, you know, they've been doing it, you know, for 93 years. Well, God bless them, you know. And if Bailey's Backyard right. just changes that menu every single week, and, you know, I've heard some of my writers and just some customers say, you know, I had a dish there, I haven't had it since, you know, and that was frustrating for them. And then you have others that just can't wait to see what the menu is that week. That's half the fun of going, because they don't know what's going to be on the menu. They're a more adventurous eater. You know, so again, hey, listen, we're going right back to what we said before. It's that it's such an open market as far as consumers. It's really hard to hone in on a specific type of consumer. You have to be true to the restaurant more than you have to be true to the customer.
Wow, that's
the interesting
good point,
thing
man.
With what you're saying there is that, like, with those two different types of consumers, that, like, the biggest component for all of that moving forward is education, because, like, yeah. if you learn to find out that one of your favorite restaurants has, like, made a change and now they change their menu often, like, you can adapt to that. There are enough people out there that are willing to adapt to something like that. But, like,
agreed. Yeah.
You know, like, I never thought about that.
Yeah, it's crazy because it's just a great, because it I guess who is the bigger audience is how I would look at it. Is the people who want me to change the menu, or I mean, it's the happy medium, you know, keeping a couple things on there that, you know, people like. And basically what that's called is you run something called a menu mix. All your POS systems can do it, and it tells you what your highest selling items are, what your lowest selling items are. And that's basically how when I make a menu, when I'm consulting somebody, that's the first thing I do is I run a menu mix and I see where they are on stuff. And you can kind of get a vibe, you know, an experienced chef can look at that and see what's going on, which I think, you know, you can kind of see that too from musicians, from a musician standpoint, where you can kind of see what's done well and what hasn't done well for them. You know, case in point would be one of my favorite rappers in the entire world, the GZA from the Wu-Tang Clan, Liquid Swords Beneath the Surface, two amazing albums. Then he came out with Pro Tools, which is just like, what the fuck are you doing? And he sold like four copies of it. It's awful. It's terrible. And then he went back to something else. Like, but I give him credit for trying, you know. I don't know. I guess, yeah, it's just, it wasn't good. So I guess you got to kind of run that menu mix to figure out what the best course of action is for that sort of stuff. I mean,
And are you the type of restaurant where people, you know, think of you as a, you know, like an everyday restaurant, you know, a restaurant that you can frequent, or are you the type of restaurant that you're a special occasion restaurant, you know? So for the restaurants that are, you know, the ones that frequent, those menus tend not to change so much. So if you're like a more casual everyday menu, those aren't changing so much. But if you're a more upscale and seasonal, et cetera, you know, those are changing, you know. And so those again go back to what type of you know, dining enthusiast are you? You know, are you eating to live or living to eat? You know, there's definitely a difference.
Well, I want to shift gears a little bit and move in a little bit different direction here with this. With the way that all media works now, and all media, I mean all encompassing, whether it's podcasts, whether it's television, whether it's Sirius Radio, I mean, whatever, your local radio, whatever you got, when it comes down to it, and you're trying to get on one of these programs, whether you're a chef, whether you're a musician, an artist, whatever it is, and you're not, you know, you don't have an army of publicists behind you, you don't have, you know, maybe you've got a PR group, but you don't have 15 of them and a manager and a booking agent and a talent agent. You don't have all these people working with you. You have one person, or maybe it's just you, you know, and you're a chef working your way up, and maybe you've done something that's won an award here and there. You want to build yourself up, or you're a musician. You know, you're a band who's maybe just put out an EP. They're doing pretty well. People are digging the shows. Kibby, what do you think is the best way to get in touch with these forms of media? And what do you think they want to see in order to book you? Like, sometimes I think we tend to send too much.
So, I mean, like, you obviously have to be really driven, really unafraid to work your network.
My name's Chef Plum. I don't know if we've met before.
Yo, my guy, am I talking about you? I'm talking to your thousands and thousands of fans who are listening at home. You really have to, like, sit and work through your network and not be afraid to ask for favors or an introduction or something like that.
Yeah.
Or honestly, if you're going to reach out, because when I'm not doing all this fun management stuff by day, I have a music blog that I've been running for 8 years. And, like, I'll get pitches that are either just like word vomit after word vomit, where it's just like way too much and the links are all broken and like the the press photo looks awful, and, you know, they follow up with like 12 emails, and I'm just like, this is not what I want at all. But, like, you know, if you can come up approachable and respectful, and you have just like very quick, easy, accessible things that people can get to and are somewhat recognizable, like if you've got any little bit of press here or there, you link to that. Like, you just gotta like keep pitching and know that you'll probably get a million no's and then like one maybe and then one yes.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. But by the way, I want to see if you'll talk about the blog you're talking about, Some Kind of Awesome. It's awesome. It's great. It's fantastic. And hope to see more of it here soon in the future from you. But I do want to pitch you my new band. We're called Word Vomit. And we're going to send you a pitch for that, because that's a fucking great name for a band, Word Vomit. Yes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, who doesn't want to hear Word Vomit?
Your first EP could be called Tweet Thread.
I think that might be the first cut from the album. Word Vomit's first single, Tweet Thread. Here's the thing, though. Word Vomit, all of our songs are only 15 seconds long. It's an out, but each album has 148 songs. 15 seconds,
oh my,
148
you know what?
Songs.
See, this shit is gimmicky enough that someone on the internet would pick this up, like, talk about it somewhere, and it would take off. Like, it's the same thing. There's a band, I can't think of their name, but, like, I think they recorded everything going,
it's pretty good.
Growled or something. I don't even remember. But like, there's enough like fun gimmicky stuff out there that if it lands in the right hands, man, you never know. You could have like a whole new career stuff.
Well, I'm a little upset because I just got a text from a message from Chef Dave, who let me know that Word Vomit is already a band. And one of their...
Damn it, Dave. Why
Damn it!
Wait a minute. Now I want
everything.
To see how many followers they have on Spotify. This is so important.
He sent me a link to one of their first songs called "Do I," as an EYE. Do I have to feel? Huh. Well.
Oh God.
Word Vomit obviously is going to be our band. Word Vomit's first love song though was actually 15 seconds long, and it's called "I'm Sorry for Pork Belly." That's our first love song by Word Vomit.
Thank
We're not
you.
Gonna do that.
Coming up on Spotify, I'm so upset.
You really are surprised that Word Vomit's not on Spotify?
No, it's not coming up on Spotify. I'm very
That's
upset.
And you're surprised?
Well, I mean, everybody can have access to TuneCore. Like, it's not that hard to put a song on Spotify. Like, what the hell?
Maybe I'm old because I don't know what TuneCore is. That sounds like a porn website for cartoons, as far as I think about it. Lynn, speaking of porn sites, listen. if same kind of question I just asked Kibby to you. If you're an up and coming chef, or you're a chef of the restaurant that's kind of doing well, maybe you won the local chili cook off or something like that, you know, and you're trying to do things like you know, a serious radio or get on somebody's podcast or, you know, some of these. I don't want to, you know, those things are mainstream now to me, but I mean, there was a time frame when those were kind of like the alternative media types, but I think that's where more people pay attention to, or, you know, local TV shows, that's easy enough. But for those sort of media types, what do you think is the best way to attack that, to go after that?
All right. So you mean as far as leveraging an existing
right
success story, or right? So
you know,
I'll
make it simple. Let's say that,
yeah,
I wanted to go do serious radio, right? I wanted to go do serious radio and promote my dining series or my restaurant or whatever. How would I go about doing that? Because I do have those people on. I've seen them on there.
Right. So, you know, when these opportunities, you know, come up, again, we go back to what's going to be impactful. So you have to keep a really strong eye on, you know, the medium that you're working with, the host that you're working with, making sure that you're getting across what you want to have come across, you know, making sure that they're showing what you want to have shown, they're asking what you want, you know, to have asked. You know, it's it's one thing to want to do every form of media, and I love it when my clients are open, you know, but we do want to make sure that they don't go on there and they're a deer in the headlights, or that they're getting the right message across, or it's looking, you know, the right way. If you're trying to leverage something that you've done, you know, like, let's say you wanted to go on because you just finished this amazing event, you know, how do you then take that accomplishment, let's call it like an accomplishment, how do you take that accomplishment and get more miles out of it, you know? And that's right. That's what often becomes really challenging. You know, one of the things that you and I always did whenever we were doing a restaurant road trip is that, you know, you and I always had a moment and I would like shoot these bullet points at you, you know, just to make sure that, you know, we're hitting on the cylinders that we want to hit on, because, you know, a lot of these forms of media, sometimes they just become very, you know, it's the same thing. It's monotonous. Right. You know, you've seen hosts ask the same questions all the time, you know, and it totally. Really may not be germane to like what we're trying to get across. So, you know, and that, to be honest, that's not always the media's responsibility. It's not. It is the publicist's responsibility to make sure that right information is getting out there. It absolutely is, you know. And if you're the one being interviewed, don't be afraid to take a little control. You know, if anything, if you have a really talented host or moderator or whatever the case may be, you know, they're going to want to get as much information from you as they can, because then they have organic content.
Legacy over here.
It's tough. I was trying to make a joke there to tag your to what you said there. What you said was really important. I was trying to make a joke about myself, and I was doing absolutely what hosts are not supposed to do and making that about me, even though it was a joke. So I apologize, Lynn. That was actually really good.
But this is your show, advice. Though.
but listen, I think it's a good advice. So I think that if you feel like, let's say you're doing a local TV spot, and you feel like you're not, most recently I did a spot this past Friday for Memorial Day on our local ABC affiliate here. And, you know, I was there with a guy, I was helping him. I really was just there I don't even know why I was even there. I didn't need to be there. It didn't make any sense for me to be there, but okay, cool. I'll be there. But there was another chef there. It was just me being stupid. He was a buddy of mine, but it didn't make any sense. So I either could be the eye candy, which, you know, I don't want to take away from anybody. Or I could be the funny guy.
It's hard
that's
not
what I ended
to.
Up being. Right.
So,
that's what I decided
to
do.
Got a pie in the face. Yeah.
So I said, hey, throw the pie at me and it'll be funny as shit and everyone will laugh. And that's how we'll end the show.
Right.
It'll be great. And they're like, oh, that's a good idea. That's taking control. You know, they just wanted to do a little quick outro. I'm like, no, make it funny. Let's have a moment. Make something fun happen. And I think you're right. Taking control is so important.
Yeah, yeah, and again, a talented, you know, media person is going to welcome, again, that organic content. They're gonna enjoy that part of it.
Totally, I couldn't agree. Kibbe, did you have something to add to that? It sounded like you were about to chime in there.
Oh, I was just going to say, and I think too, like, knowing the programs that you're pitching to or trying to get on. So, like, for example, like a podcast or, you know, like a YouTuber or an influencer or something like that, if you're trying to work with them, watch some of the videos and see what kind of content they already have. And when you pitch to them, explain how you can fit into their audience or what kind of perspective you can bring to their audience and what would be interesting and like what would be worthy of like views or clicks or whatever to them. And if they're open to it, they'll have you on. Like, they're at the end of the day, everybody's trying to get the same thing, which is just endless amounts of attention, because that's what we're living in now. But
agreed.
Know what you're pitching to. Don't pitch like, I'm not like a super hardcore hip hop fan, and I can't tell you how many death metal and hip hop albums I get pitched on a daily basis, and I'm like, y'all, like, I literally haven't written about hip hop in like 6 years, but if you want to send me all the synth pop and like dance music, I'm here for you. Like, know what you're actually pitching to. Like, don't send me like Celtic anthem. Like, I get the weirdest pitches sometimes, and I'm just like, delete, 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 delete. Like, you have to actually look at what you're pitching to.
Dude, I don't know, man. I got to be honest with you. You're right. I was going to make a comment, but you're absolutely right. I think understanding who you're pitching to is good. And I think also too, just from my own personal experience, and you guys would both probably agree with me, if you're going to pitch somebody, don't do a standard cover sheet you send to everybody. Like,
Nope.
Take the time to write something personal to each person when you do it. You know, don't just go in there and be like, hello, my name is, you know, it takes 15 minutes to write an email out that actually explains stuff. So I think it's really important to do that. But honestly, Kibbe, I'm not the new hip hop stuff, I'm not into it, but that Childish Gambino stuff is pretty freaking good. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yo.
Do you hate it?
The chills, man. I love it.
Good. It's pretty dope. At 1 minute, I'm dancing like Fred Sanford. And the next minute, I kind of feel like I should jump up and down and punch my head in the wall. It's amazing how much it changes my my emotions.
I'm just not into mumble rap. That's not my thing.
No, that's garbage. That stuff is garbage. All right, listen. So before we wrap this up, thank you guys both for being on tonight. It's been a lot of fun having this conversation. I want to reverse roles with you a little bit here and talk about basically we're gonna switch and Lynn, you're gonna work in the musician's world. And Kibbe, you're going to be in the chef's world, and I'll start with you, Lynn. As a musician coming at you, and you may have worked with musicians in the past. I never asked you that, but maybe you have. I'm coming at you from
a marketing PR standpoint. That was my first PR. Yeah.
Was it? Okay.
Go ahead.
From a musician and your standpoint, what would be the first piece of advice you would give them to take it all the way back to what we just started this conversation at?
If you're starting out, I think it's. I mean, it's like when I started out, I said yes to everything. I was just, I was fearless, and I said yes, and I put myself out there. And I learned a lot of things the hard way. And I remember working with some musicians, you know, the whole school of hard knocks, and they always make a joke out of it. But it's true, and it works, and you have to go through it. And the only way you can do that is just being open and going for it and experiencing things. And just be willing to put yourself out there. And sometimes you're not getting paid for it. You got to be willing to do some freebies. You know, the chefs have been there, and you know the musicians have been there too. You got to pay a little dues.
I took a pie in the face for free last Friday.
See, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Which it's pretty similar to what you were saying before. Is just be willing to do stuff and take. You know, take chances, take risks, which is kind of what you started the whole conversation with, Lynn. You were saying, I think similar to what you said right there was very similar to what you started with. Like, take those risks, be willing to do things.
Yeah, have an impact, be fearless. Yeah, go for it.
There you go. Kibbe, same question to you. As a chef who's kind of getting up and going, maybe has started doing some couple of things, and you're taking them on to manage them, to work with them, what would be your piece of advice to them to get them moving forward? Like, it's the one thing you would say, this is what we have to do first.
Get to know the people advocating for you, like, as your customer base, like the people who are referring people. Get to know the ways that they stay up to date on, you know, like, new additions and stuff to food menus at restaurants they like that aren't yours. You know, like, if you're really trying to build a fan base, you have to, like, get to know these people a little bit and have them be like, oh, my God, you have to go try this, like, new dish that Chef Plum, like, added to the menu last week. It's, like, the most amazing thing ever. It has, like, this crispy pork belly in it that I've never, like, even knew could exist, blah, 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 blah. Like, there are people that will stand up and jump up and down and treat, like, be a groupie for you in the same right that they would be for a musician if you're putting in the effort and, like, really connecting with what's going on and getting the feedback. Because, like, if they're like, oh, I didn't see that, you know, you made panna cotta last week, like, because you didn't put it on the Instagram and that's where I do things, like, that's the other thing too. Like, be consistent across your channels and make sure that you're constantly, like, keeping people updated on what's going on with you.
So it sounds a lot like you're saying there should be some polish there. Like, make sure your Instagram or your social medias are on point. Make sure you know your customer base. It's kind of like polishing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, if you don't have a Facebook page where people can leave reviews and connect with you and let you know that, like, they thought, you know, your carbonara was fucking baller, like, you're never going to know that that actually was, like, a thing. Or, like, the fact that someone came out and, like, took the time for it, like, you could make some sort of, like, special where, like, it's like a couples thing, or, you know, like, there's all these different ways where you can get creative with bringing people in based around, like, the kind of feedback that you're getting, or even just being able to use that user-generated, like, feedback to promote the things that you're making. Like, it's free advertising.
Yeah.
And then they feel proud that, like, they were part of it, and they, like, reshare it to all of their friends, like, and you're building that community out. You're making that network happen, like, very naturally.
It's polishing up that social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the pieces of the puzzle need to be in place before you put yourself out there. You know, we have clients that, you know, they're so eager for that damn press release. And in the meantime, I'm like, yeah, but your website's not done and your Facebook's not, you know, I don't want to, you know, once you start doing PR, you're exposed. So before you expose yourself, have all your ducks in a row, please.
Yes.
Listen to that. So it's so funny. So we started this whole conversation off with asking, like, what you guys would tell people in your respected areas, you know, and then we switch after this conversation, and, you know, 40 minutes into it, we switch it up. I ask the same question, but give you guys as a kind of trading roles here. And wow, the answer is almost the same. I love that. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Because the formula, like, the formula remains the same. Yeah. The formula remains the same.
I kind of feel like Judge Judy. Like, I'm like, there you go. Uh-huh.
Don't.
And if you want to be awesome, if you want to be super awesome, just get word vomit to come play at your restaurant. That's all you got to do. And everybody's in. All
job one, don't That's suck. Me. Job two, polish your shit. Job three, like, keep putting yourself out there. Job four, don't give up. The end. Go. Like,
I also want to tell you guys that when I told you earlier I would do my next photo shoot with my Speedo on for my food, whatever picture I took, I just want to point out you guys both winced in pain as if someone stepped on your toe. Meanwhile, Chef Dave sent me a message and says, hey, can I work the event? I'll carry the baby oil. That's chefs for you.
Oh,
you
my
go.
Goodness.
Well, wow. I'm going to go on American Apparel right now to see if I can get you, like, a gold LeMay Speedo.
I don't even know what LeMay is. Listen, you guys have been awesome. Shiny. Thank you so much for coming on tonight and taking the time and chatting. And listen, in the end, I think PR and marketing is PR and marketing. It goes all around the same way. It's just a different way of wording it. I think everybody can pick up a lot from this. I mean, if you go back and check out this show again, you'll hear some pretty good tips and pointers in there. So hopefully you guys can do that out there. And Lynn, of course, you can follow MaxXPR on Instagram at MaxEXPR on Instagram, right? Did I say it right?
Yep, MaxEXPR, yep.
I did misspell your
name.
Well,
you spelled that right.
Ugh, I'm such a bad friend.
As long as you spell the company name correctly, that's all that counts.
I got that, and I'll paint that on my what do you call it, a whatever kind of Speedo that KB is about to buy for me. I'll paint it on there. We'll have it put on there, so everyone will be happy. And of course, KB on Instagram.
So
what's your Instagram handle? Is it just at KB?
No, it's Hey Look, It's KB, KIBB.
That's right. Hey, look at the Kibby on Instagram. Make sure you check her out there. And of course, Some Kind of Awesome is going to be up and working again pretty hard, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
We're doing a whole
I love it. I love it. You guys are great. Thanks for being on the show. I really, really appreciate it. We'll catch you guys on down the road, all right?
That was fun. Let's do it again.
Yes,
You're
thanks.
You're the best, Lynn. You're the best. Kibby, thank
right,
you very
night.
Much. Good night, guys. We'll take care.
Bye.
There you have it, guys. That's two great perspectives from two very, very cool people, man. A lot of fun talking to them about that and finding out there in the end how it's kind of all the same. It's kind of all the same. I think the couple pieces of advice there that really, really are big takeaways are take chances and make sure you're polished. That's it. Just polish your stuff. That's all I can say about it. Check it out, you guys. Season 5 is a wrap. How about that? We are done. We're going to start with season 6 next week. No breaks in between. Season 6 is going to fire up. I'm working on a couple big guests. We've got a big announcement next week about what's going to happen. We're doing some work with Station Head. A live show is going to happen live in Brooklyn. We're going to talk about that. We'll have a guest on here. Big shout out to my good friend, Serena. I hope that Coco the dog is okay. And I look forward to having you on the program at a later date. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't thank you guys enough. Seriously, thank you so much for all your support and downloading the show and listening to the show live. It means the world to me. We have really taken this program and made something very, very cool out of it for all of us in the hospitality industry. So ladies and gentlemen, please remember food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Make sure you give it the time it deserves. I'll see you next week. Season 6. Here we go.
came to
play. I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
I came to play.